Hello and welcome. This is Charlotte Jacobs, and our topic for today is insider secrets to get other people to promote for you. I'm so thrilled that you're here. I'm so thrilled about this topic that I'm going to share today, which is about joint ventures, some of the insider secrets. This is a very, very coveted topic, and it's one of those things that most people don't really understand how this works until they're kind of inside of it and kind of figuring it all out. So I'm really excited to prepare you today for what it takes to really grow your reach and get more clients and get more people on your list and all of these things that you can do once you have good joint venture partnership. What you're going to get today are probably learning some mistakes that you might have made or some little tips to make it more effective, and I think you'll be really, really pleased. You're going to walk away with this from this call with some real clear how-to steps and some mindset shifts around what it really takes to play in this realm of joint ventures. So I'm going to share with you the why JV partnerships are the fastest way to grow your email list of subscribers who are primed to buy your stuff, the four different types of promotional partnerships you must understand if you want to avoid looking like an amateur, how to engage your competitors so they are happy to promote for you, where to meet potential JV partners and how to look like a pro, and how to know what matters most to any JV partner that will have them say yes to promoting you, and so much more. The first thing I want to start off with is why this is the fastest way to grow your list and the fastest way to really get more clients and, well, I don't know about get more clients because there's obviously the conversion issue, but about really, really growing your list, growing your reach. And that is that when you're out there, and I love this actually, Sage Lee was over here, who's our brand manager the other day, and we were talking about the cloud. And he says the cloud is where all those potential clients come from. And that's kind of like they come from wherever they come from. They come from out of the cloud, out of the blue, right? Where do you find them? Well, we tell you that the fastest way to go find them is to go to places where they're already at, where they're already engaged, where they're already participating, and you know that they're your ideal clients. You know, if you know anything about the start of our business, we had a local directory. We were raising money for nonprofits and getting leads for practitioners, and most of those practitioners were getting the leads but not getting paying clients out of them. And Jesse and I were, and so we started teaching them our Heartsling system that we just made up for our own benefit. And at that point, you know, they were starting to get better results. People kept asking. And, you know, eventually we decided to give them a workshop. So we just led this workshop to like 11 people at this point. And we decided, let's open it up to the public. We'd been to the Millionaire Mind Intensive with Harv Eker, and we'd seen 2,500 people in the room on a full scholarship workshop. We watched him make offers and watched people run to the back of the room, and we thought, oh, my gosh, it was just a life-changing experience for us. So we thought, let's swing out and try it on our own. And so we did our first Rejuvenate Your Practice, and really, we had about 90 practitioners on our list of names, and we had somebody call, and if you know Natalie Chaperone, who used to be one of our strategists, she at the time is a 7 or 8 years ago, just made calls to people to invite them to the workshop. And then we had two partners. And it was great because here was Natalie calling up 90 different people to invite them to this workshop that we were offering. And then here we were having one conversation with a strategic alliance. And they, they didn't even ask for cross promotion. And it worked out so well for them that I remember we had 14 people come from one of them, and I believe we had another 15 or 16 come from the other. I know that about 30 or 33 people came from strategic alliances, so pretty extraordinary, and I just really want you to get the power of that. One conversation with a potential client, they become a client, and they say yes, and there's one client versus one conversation with a strategic alliance or a joint venture partner, and they send you 15 people or 30 people. Or, you know, nowadays we have somebody will work with a partner and they'll put 500 people on our list. Now, I've many, many, many stories like this. One of our first online joint ventures was with Alexandra Brown, and she had 800 people in her Silver Mastermind program, and we were the guests, and I was a guest, and I was selling a product for $500, and I think we sold 25 products in that one-hour call. So it was about $12,000 that we made during that call. Pretty cool. And then with Eben Pagan, you know, I knew what I was doing. And again, this is, I'm not going to be able to get into the details of the nitty-gritty of the technology. That's something you learn in Leverage, about how to set up the web pages and all of that. This is really about partnerships are about and how to get them to promote for you. You know, different, you're going to separate those topics. But, you know, because I knew what I was doing, I was able to turn that around really quickly, and we did something like $31,000, I think it was $31,500 in sales in 1 hour and got 1,100 new subscribers. So you can get, you know, even if you're not going to be, you know, working with a guru like Ali Brown or Eben Pagan, you can get the power of this. And with the first one of them was a vendor selling herbs to acupuncturists. And they just emailed their list and showed up as a sponsor at the event. The other one was the psychic fair, and he gave tickets at the door, and we passed out invitations to the vendors at the fair. So I want you to start thinking out of the box about different ways, like who else is reaching your people. But let's, before we get into that, now that you know why they're one of the fastest ways, these people are already on their list, they're already hungry for what you have to offer, I want to talk about the four different types of partnerships, because I want you to really understand the language of joint venture, the language of partnerships, so you can really look like a pro instead of showing up like an amateur. I want you to really look like you know what you're doing, because believe it or not, the first time you do it, looking like you know what you're doing, I'd rather have you just get the answers now instead of trying to figure it out the hard way. So there are four different types of partnerships. The first one is called joint venture, and a joint venture is when you do something together with the other person, where you're actually fully enmeshed. You're going to find yourself in a joint venture partnership when you find someone who's got a very nice complementary service to what you do, and it just makes sense to really join forces. So that's joint venture. The second is a promotional partner. And this is when a partner hosts you on a call or at an event to promote you, your launch, or your product. So you want to do this, you know, in just a couple of little guidelines here. You want to do your best to arrange things so that you set up the call registration pages whenever possible so you can collect the names on your partner's list. I'll give you an example of that. Whenever I'm hosted by my friend Christian Michelson, he will mail to his list. The people will come through his affiliate link to my web page. And on my web page, they put in their name and email address, and now they become on my list. So I get to do all of the follow-up. So we might do a call, and maybe, you know, 500 to 700 people might sign up for the call, and those 500 to 700 people are signing up for my list. So that's very cool. He promotes for me, and that's what it looks like. So that's a real plus there. If you can't do that, you want to offer something ridiculously cool for free. And I'll give you an example of that. Whenever I'm a host on a telesummit where I can't capture the names and email addresses, I always offer the free video. I've got really hot copy about, you know, how to make $10,000 a month seeing clients just 3 days each week, and how to avoid the three biggest mistakes that most practitioners and coaches make. So really, really valuable content-rich video. And people have to go to a certain page to go and sign up to get that video. So then I'm offering something really ridiculously cool. So if you're ever on a call and you can't collect the names and email addresses, offer a report, offer a video, offer something really cool that people can go and get for free. And then make sure that even if you run it through your partner's site, you set it up so that they get the affiliate credit. So if they decide they don't want to give you the names and email addresses, and people have every right to do that, then when you give the buy link or whatever it is, make sure it's their affiliate link. I'm just going to give you a quick little advanced tip about that right now. This is kind of some stuff, you know, getting into leverage material, but I just want to give you a little tip about that. It's really nice if you're going to be on a call, a live call, to go ahead and buy a new domain name and forward it to their affiliate link so that you can, they can get credit and it's easy to read on the call. And I'll give you an example. Recently, I was promoting for my friend Christian Michelson, and he had a program called Big List, and I bought the domain growyourbiglist.com. I think that was the one I bought. It was something like that. And that forwarded to my affiliate link where I buy my domain. So just some little tips there about being a promotional partner. So we had one joint venture, two promotional partner. The third type is an affiliate. This is an affiliate. And an affiliate is somebody who promotes for you without the expectation that you will cross-promote for them. there are people who are actually professional affiliates, believe it or not, and if they can find a good product, they might be brilliant at pay-per-click, for example, where they go and put ads on Google, and they're so good at this, they know that if they put an ad on Google and they pay $1.50 a click for that ad, they know if they've got a good person that they're an affiliate for, that they will get enough in sales and enough commissions that it will way more than pay for that. So that's one example of something an affiliate can do. I also just recently doing the Adopt a Village campaign where we were raising $25,000 to adopt a village in Africa for my friend Cynthia Kersey's foundation, Unstoppable Foundation. And just because of the nature of it, I actually had a few people reach out that asked me if they could be our affiliate. And so that's just meaning they're going to go promote for you. And you just have to know that you might have this big list of affiliates. Like, say you put Be an Affiliate on your website and people sign up. You may have this big list of affiliates, but most affiliates will really not promote. You'll have a couple that will, but most of them won't. It's still good to keep in touch with them. And then you also should know that most of your sales are going to come from promotional partners or people that you have a relationship with previously. So that just know that from the get-go. But affiliates are a good thing. It's good to know what they are. The fourth type of partnership are strategic alliances. And strategic alliances are people where you add value to their offerings for their clients. It could also go the other way. They might add value to you. But you add value to their offerings for their clients. So a good example of this is when I talked about the herb company. There was an herbs company that sold herbs to acupuncturists. They had Chinese formulas. And they were selling organic herbs and had a list of a few thousand acupuncturists. And they mailed for us. No, it's completely cooperative. There's no competition. And we just add value because, obviously, if their practitioners get more clients, they're going to sell more herbs, right? So that's an example of a strategic alliance. And you want to start to think about different partnerships here. But by the way, strategic alliances may not ask you to promote. They may not ask you to cross-promote. Sometimes it's just a good match for them to promote you. So I want you to think about this for a moment, and I want to especially talk about something that's a little funny in the industry here, this industry of internet marketing or speaking, you know, seminar leaders, coaches, authors, speakers, all of us who are in this industry, that there is this funny misnomer, and that is that people use the term joint venture when they really mean promotional partner or strategic alliance. So they use the term joint venture when they really mean promotional partner or strategic alliance. I just want you to know that people will talk about doing JVs, and they will mean, hey, can you promote for me, or hey, I promote for you. You know, for example, if I'm doing an interview with my friend Bill Barron, and he interviews me, we might call that a JV because it's just common language in the industry, but it's just the way it is, so I want you to be prepared for that. All right, so those are the four different types of partnerships of people who can grow your list and why you must understand that so you don't want to look like an amateur. Now, I want you to start to think about what this is really about and what this whole JV thing is about. I really want you to know that there's an overall piece about this that you may be missing. And I want to share with you how to engage your competitors so they're happy to promote for you. I want to share about a few places of where to meet potential JV partners and what to do. But first, I really want to talk about kind of a mindset that you need to have about promotional partners. And this is something that I learned from my friend Eben Pagan. Well, I'll tell you how we met Eben and how this all worked out, that Rose Cole was in our programs 3 or 4 years ago. When she came to us, she was doing about $45,000 in her nutrition coaching practice, and just a really beautiful soul, amazing spirit, really brilliant practitioner, and just really didn't know anything about marketing and sales. And was so nervous that she couldn't even raise her hand she wouldn't even raise her hand to talk in a group when she was in the audience. Through the process of some money breakthrough coaching with Jesse, she had a breakthrough in who she was being and how she felt about being on stage and, you know, speaking. And that year, she shortly after, she started speaking, putting herself out there as a speaker, and shortly after she got invited to speak on T. Harv Eker's stage. And that year, her practice made $250,000 So she went from $45,000 to $250,000. Amazing what a breakthrough can do, right? Well, Eben, she was dating Eben Pagan at the time. I mean, what are the chances of that? But that's the way it was, right? And when Eben saw what happened to her, you know, he's seen a lot of stuff, and there are a lot of stuff out there that doesn't get results, and he saw the results that she got, and he was really impressed. And so he reached out and wanted to talk with us, and he said, "What can I do for you?" And he was so ultra generous. It was just absolutely ridiculous how generous he was. It just blew my mind. And I had a complete shift in how I think about joint venture partnerships, and that is that I want to be so generous, and I will really see, like, where can I add value? And that's a question that I ask myself, and I want you to write that down. Where can I add value? Where can I add value? So when you're thinking like that, and then you really want to take a look at who are your competitors, this is a really, really funny thing. Your competitors are probably your best partners. And here's why. Because they have people on their list that are looking for the exact same thing that you offer. And for whatever reason, it might have been the time, it might have been they just didn't have that connection with the person whose list they're on. For whatever reason, they're still on their list, but they haven't bought from the other person. Or maybe they have. And maybe they're, actually those are the best people, the ones that have already bought from your client. But I just want you to imagine, there you are at a marketing seminar. Are you a lot more likely to buy another marketing seminar at that marketing seminar? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so the same is with, you know, whether you're doing speaking engagements or that kind of a thing, that people who are on someone's list are a lot more likely to buy the same type of thing from what they've already got. So I'll give you some examples. We have a home study product, and we launch it every once in a while. We offer it to our list. Of course, we'd rather meet you live, right? And we launch that every once in a while, but we really don't offer a lot of home study stuff. But my friend Christian Michelson, he has a product called Free Sessions That Sell. And guess what? It's almost the same content. It blows my mind. And when I hosted Christian earlier this year with that product, it's amazing to me, but, you know, we had quite a few sales, and we are often his top affiliate for that product. And that's because people are coming to us to learn how to get clients. And many of them have tried the free sessions and not had a good, you know, good experience with them. So it's amazing, and vice versa. If Christian, whenever Christian has hosted me for his list, it goes really, really well, and he's usually my top affiliate, my top partner, because he's promoting my thing. So I just want you to get that. Your partners, if they know what they're doing, your partners will, you know, if they're competitors, they'll actually know that it's really a good idea to cross-promote for each other. So that's really one of the ways to engage your partners, and I want to tell you a few little tips and secrets about where to meet promotional partners and kind of ultimately what it's all about, what JVs are all about. And I'm throwing these terms all around because they are used all around like that. That's kind of the way it goes in the industry. They're thrown around like that as if it's all the same thing. And truthfully, I do mean the same thing, but that's just kind of the way it goes. So I want to tell you that really what JVs are about, it's really about making friends. It's really about making friends. So I want you to have that in mind, that you want to make friends, add value. Put that in your mind. Those are two things you want to put right next to each other. Make friends, add value. Make friends, add value. Make friends, add value. So I'll give you an example of some places I like to really meet people. One is at live events. The other one's through email intros. And then the third one is on Facebook. So live events, email intros, and Facebook. Let me talk a little bit about each of these and how you want to do this. So you want to go to live events. Going to live events is so critical for you if you want to be able to connect with bigger players. Even if they're not in your niche, you want to go and do that. You want to, anytime you have the opportunity to connect with bigger players, do it. Go to their live events. Buy the VIP package. I'll give you an interesting, just an example of this, that years ago, Jesse and I went to this seminar. It was called IBI, and I think they changed it to CEO Space nowadays, but it was a $5,500 week-long seminar. And that was just so uncomfortable for Jesse and I to invest that much money. I actually had to raise the money in order to go because I didn't have it. This was very, very early in my practice. And we went to the seminar, and part of the reason that we went is because the teachers on the faculty actually sat down at meals and talked with people. And that's where I became friends with Jill Lublin and Maria Simone and there, you know, some other folks that were there. It was just really like, wow, okay, great, meeting these great people. And it really up-levels your Rolodex. So really, really important. I mean, and these are friends for life. They're long-term. So I really want you to think about that, that these are long-term friendships. Now, if you are at a live event and you can get an introduction from somebody else who knows that person, I recommend that versus a cold contact. If you have somebody who's really good at introducing you, they're going to position you really well. And so I'll talk about that in a little bit. But you want to get introductions versus a cold contact if you can. And if you, whatever the case is, you definitely want to position yourself right up front. I'm going to give you an example of what not to do, because I made a huge mistake years ago, and I, you know, fortunately, I'm thinking that he doesn't remember, because it's we actually are on faculty for Agape, and we actually teach their practitioners in as being part of the congregation. And but years ago, I went to an event for Hub. There used to be a program or a company called Hub, Humanity Unites Brilliance. And there's a lot of luminaries, and they were selling empowerment education, and the money was going to impact and make a difference. And it was a great, great program. And we went to this workshop where we were actually been told that we were on staff, and by Charlie, who was the founder, and or my friend Sprite, who was also one of the founders. And we went to this VIP luncheon to really, we wanted to connect with Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith, and we wanted to connect with Jack Canfield. And we had a project that we were going to do that was about interviewing luminaries, and I don't even remember the details of the project, but it was a super cool project that was about raising money for, you know, charities. And I remember Jacob was so little. He was probably about Zach's age. He was in the baby carrier. He was super little. I think he was walking at the time. And we went to this event so we could connect with Reverend Michael and with Jack Canfield. And I remember, I mean, Reverend Michael had just flown in. He was there. He was like, you know, like kind of like was eating lunch. And the VIP luncheon was just about over, and I went down and I sat down and I started talking with him and just basically started talking about this project. And he actually looked at at Jesse and he said, "Does she talk for you all the time?" It was just this really awkward, weird thing. And I mean, I just really occurred as pushy, because what I did was I tried to take the short term versus the long term. So you really want to think about developing relationships over time, because this is kind of like trying to rush to close the sale. You know, we don't use that phrase very often, but it's like if you were going to think of that energy of, I got to close the sale at a networking event when you just met somebody. You want to take time and connect with people, and you want to create a relationship with people. And so it's all about relationship, even if it's the coolest project, because your project and your product and whatever you're doing is not what has people promote. It's all about relationship. So I want you to think about relationship. I want you to be ultra generous. And I want you to ask what you can do for them first. What can you do for them first? And, you know, this really, I could give you example after example of people who are friends of mine. Like, we text. You know, I remember I was, when Zachary was just like probably about 6 weeks old, and I was really going, oh my gosh, how do women do this with two kids? I texted my friend Lisa Sasevich and just said, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going on. This is crazy. Nobody told me. And she said, sounds like you need a little mommy pep talk. And, you know, so it's like we text, we're friends. And that's really mostly, I mean, everybody I do business with, they're friends of mine. They're really in an inner circle with me. And so that's what you want to keep in mind. So that's, you know, whether you're a live event, try and get an introduction. Also, email introductions are really, really great. And, you know, from somebody that they respect, that will really, really make a difference. And who introduces you really matters. I just want to let you know. So I want you to think about, when you're asking for an introduction, I want to think about who is the best person that could introduce you to this person if you were looking for an introduction. Just some things to think about. All right, great. So let's talk about, if you can't get an introduction, how do you become visible to them? And I want to give you a few different things that you can do to really become visible to people. So one thing that you can do is you can use social media. And I've got to give you somebody who is just so brilliant at this. Her name is Amy Miyamoto, and she's a graduate of ours. And Amy was just so brilliant. I just noticed whenever she was on the six-figure mastermind calls, and we used to actually interview, now we interview our six-figure graduates because there's so many of them that, and they have so much value to give that we want to, you know, keep it in the family and promote our own people and let you get to know people who are doing great things and share their success stories and share their you know, secrets and tips that they're using to really grow their practice. But in the old days, way back when, we used to interview friends of mine that were, you know, partners. And Amy, whenever we were interviewing somebody, she would be on Twitter and she would be on Facebook and she would be talking about the value that she got. And so I loved this because it would put her in front of people. And I just saw her engaging with people who were like bigger players all the time through social media. She was so brilliant at it. And so that's a little strategy that you can use when you're on a call with somebody, whether it's a free call or whatever, you know, go and you know, tweet about what you're learning or Facebook about what you're learning and tag them so that they know who you are and they see your name. And if they start to see you over and over again, it's really great because you're basically promoting for them, which they really like. So, again, then the second way to become visible to them is to become their affiliate and promote for them. Become their affiliate and promote for them. And if you're getting a few sales, and I'll just give you an example of I was at Eben Pagan's Green Room event, which is a very like behind closed doors kind of secret networking event for people who are his partners. And I met Brendon Burchard, and I actually had no idea who Brendon was, which is a funny thing because most people do now. But I had no idea, and I thought I overheard him say something about he did $4 million in an event, and I went, "How the heck do you do that? I have to come see that." And he said, "Yeah, come to my event. Come." But you know, we met briefly, and then when I asked, "Hey, Brendon invited me to his event," to one of his staff members via email, she said, "That's fine." Or you know, actually, he gave me his email, and I asked him, and he said, "Actually, that's fine. I just asked that you promote for me." So we did. I sent out maybe one email to our list, and I put him in the e-zine, and we ended up with 4 or 5 sales for this event that was called Experts Academy. And when I showed up, there's a very big joint venture manager out there, you know, does launches, and he recognized my face, and he said, "Are you Charlotte Jacobs?" And I said, "Yeah." And I mean, I'd heard this guy's name before, and it was because he was actually the launch manager for this launch, and he saw that I'd gotten some sales. And so it just put me in front of them. And then, you know, Jesse and Brendon had connected, and Jesse had actually you know, been on stage and told Brendon he could do some things to help them get more sales. So they had a call, and he mentioned my name, and Brendon knew exactly who I was. And Brendon and I talked for like 3 minutes. I promoted for him. I was in the audience at his program. So you get in front of them. If you promote for them, you become an affiliate and promote for them without the expectation that they're going to promote for you back, then that's going to get you in front of them. At some point, they may promote for you, but they may also do other things for you. And then a third way to really become visible to people, and this is a very, very important thing that you want to think about, is to join their high-end coaching programs. And I can give you an example. I mean, joining Alexandra Brown's coaching program several years ago really put me on the map, on the Internet. People know my face on the Internet, and it's because of that very first call I did with Allie, and I wouldn't have been in front of her like that. I wouldn't have become visible to her unless I had joined her $15,000 mastermind program. Now, you know, there are other ways to do this, and I just want to tell you, I mean, a lot of these programs now, you pay $18,000, it'll be like 3 weekends, and the person may never know who you are, versus now if you really want to get in front of somebody with their high-end programs. A lot of these programs are more like $100,000 now, which is, you know, I have my opinions about that. That worked really well for Verinda. She joined Lisa Sasevich's Diamond program at $100,000, and that really made a big difference for her because it was the same market. So, you know, it's a strategy to think about. And so becoming somebody's biggest success story or a really great success story is a really powerful way to become visible to someone and, you know, approach people. I mean, like, I love when I see some of you and some of your names I recognize, I know that, you know, you've come up to me, you've become friends, and it's just because you talked to me at the break. I know who you are, and, you know, I know what you're up to, and it's great. And so you want to do that. You want to really become visible to people because that's going to really, really have them want to support you. And it might mean introductions. It might mean all kinds of things. Now, another little secret is you might hire somebody, like hire the top person in your niche for a VIP consulting day. That's a little something that you can do. I promise you that if you invest thousands of dollars with someone, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be thinking about you and thinking about who they can introduce you to or what they can do to help you. There's no guarantee that they will promote you or introduce you, but it's a lot more likely. So I don't want you to do this when, and just here's a little tip about this. Don't do this when you're first starting out. You want to have some traction in your business first. So you really want to know what you're doing, know your niche, know how to talk about what you do, have some success stories, feel confident in what you do before you start reaching out and, you know, before you start investing at that level. But, you know, hire somebody for a VIP day. And, you know, you might invest $6,000 and that's a lot, but they're going to really get into your business. They're going to really want to support you. And they're, you know, they're going to be, you can ask while you're at the VIP day, like, is there anybody you know that you think would be a good match you can introduce me to? I bet they will. And then a little secret about this, once, let's say you do make a good connection with someone, you want to stay connected and ask to follow up. So one of the things that I do is I ask if it's their private email address or if it goes through their assistant. And you don't want to give up. And I'll give you an example. I met Jack Canfield, and I was standing in line, and I really should have just had somebody else introduce me. But, you know, again, these are some lessons I've learned the hard way, and we want to share these with you so you don't have to learn them the hard way. But I remember standing in line at a Hub event to speak with Jack, and he gave me a card, and I said, is this your private email address, or does this go through your assistant? And he said, this is my private email address. And I said, okay. And I emailed several times, and I didn't get an email back, and it took about 4 emails to actually get a return. So just don't give up, and it's okay to be a pest. It's okay to be a pest, and I want to encourage you to just keep following up with people. And, you know, just because he didn't return my emails after he said he was interested in promoting, and then he finally did, and it turned out it wasn't a good match at the time, I'll always approach him whenever I see him at an event. And I will make sure now to have our mutual friends make an introduction rather than waiting in line like the fans. Because you don't want to appear like a glommy fan, right? You really want to appear like somebody who's a pro, you know what you're doing. Again, you know, you really want to position yourself. But just really, and by the way, don't worry if you've screwed this up or if you screwed up the first time. They probably won't remember you, and you can always get a second chance to make a good connection. And another thing that you can do to just, you know, just to kind of get yourself out there and get started with somebody is you can ask somebody to provide a bonus for, you know, something that you're offering, and they can get opt-ins for the bonus. So that's, you know, these are just some things, some little tips. Have your heart be open. Go to make friends. This is really about friendship. So keep that in mind. And, again, you know, acknowledge people when you're meeting them, but don't start by being a gushy fan because it just puts you into a different category, and they're going to listen to you differently, whether you're showing up as a gushy, glommy fan or you're showing up as somebody who's a potential partner. So that's a little bit about how to look like a pro and, you know, engage your competitors so they're happy to promote for you. You want to start out by giving to them and, you know, not expecting anything in return and being friends and being generous, and you stay in the relationship for the long term. Let's talk about how to know what matters most to any joint venture partner that will have them say yes to promoting you. And there's a little secret here, and it's going to be a big surprise, and it is to ask them what matters most to you. And what you'll find, there are a few things that are most important to JV partners. For many of them, one is relationship. They're going to promote for you because of their relationship with you. They love you. They think your stuff is great. You know, you guys are friends. I'll give you an example. I mean, it's got to be in line with their business. It's got to make sense. But I was in a mastermind it wasn't a paid for mastermind. It was just a mastermind that one of my friends, it's just a really brilliant woman, put together. And we were in this mastermind where we were talking about our intentions and just really blessing each other. And it wasn't really much about business, but it's about what we wanted in our life. And, you know, being in that mastermind helped me manifest getting pregnant with Zachary. And the women in this mastermind were my friends Cynthia Kersey, Marsha Martin, Marsha Weeder, and Sprite Loriano, and another woman who's just really brilliant. I love these women dearly. For a year, every morning, every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, we'd get on the phone, we'd talk about our intentions, and then we would validate each other's intentions, and that's all we did for a year. And, you know, Marsha, I would love, it's like, gosh, to have Marsha Weeder promote for me. But I didn't ask right away. We remained friends. I asked what I could do for her. I did things to support her. We're friends. And she recently just emailed me and said, want to trade? And she asked if, you know, we could do a cross promotion. And it's because of the friendship. So just again, like relationship really, really matters with people, especially when they're higher level. Now, another thing that really matters to some people is reciprocation. So I'm going to talk about four things that matter to different partners, but I want you to have the background on this. So reciprocation, and a lot of times that's a call swap, meaning want to trade. Like Marcia was asking, you mail to your list, I'll mail to my list. Let's host each other. We'll figure that out. Usually the case when you're working with somebody with a big list, so you want to be the first one to offer. And I'll give you an example. Milana Leshinsky, who's got a list of, she's probably around 25,000 coaches, great promo partner for us. Milana and I have been friends for years. And I first reached out to her to see if I could promote her, kind of find out more about her years ago. And she emailed me and said, hey, I want to get you on my promotional calendar. I mean, isn't that just the coolest thing? So, of course, I responded, yes, Milana, I want to be on your promotional calendar. And so I got on her promotional calendar, and then she said, hey, you know, would you be willing to promote for me? And, I mean, it was just, of course I would. So a lot of times that's something, you know, that people want is reciprocation. Now, it isn't always a call swap, and I want you to realize this. It isn't always like I'm going to host you for a teleseminar for me and you're going to host me for a teleseminar for you. Or it could be that, you know, I'll give you an example. There's one person in the coaching industry who has promoted me to her list, but we've never promoted her to our list. Instead, we supported her with getting her first live events off the ground. I invited her to come to our trainings and observe and study. I gave her our production manual, and I thought, how else? So I want you to think, how else can I reciprocate that doesn't always involve cross-promotion? Because you may not even have a list yet, and you may not, cross-promotion may not be valuable. But you can do other things. There might be other ways that you can add value. And, you know, again, if you're finding strategic alliances, and this is, I really want you to think out of the box about this. If you're finding people that what you do would just add value to what they're already doing and they would never ask you to promote for them, go for those relationships. Those are so important. And again, just thinking about, you know, giving you the example of our first, we had 94 people register. It was when we called up the herb company and I created a relationship with the CEO and then, you know, asked them to email for us. I mean, there was no point in us really emailing for them. You know, it didn't totally make sense. The guy who runs a psychic fair, you know, him mailing for us and showing up and giving tickets, it just adds value. So I just want you to think about that. So those are two things that are most important to joint venture partners. Another thing that might be important to them are commissions. And I just want to be straight about this, that people who have big lists and who can mail to their own list for their own products, if they're going to take the opportunity to send out an email for you, most of them want to make money. And so commissions are really important. And I want to give you an example. This is a funny thing where, you know, people do think about this. I have a partner that I haven't mailed for in a very long time because I mailed for them a couple of years ago, and they were offering a 30% commission on a product that was $1,000. And I know that on the back end, meaning once they buy the product and they get the opportunity to upgrade to whatever, that every single person was worth $1,500 on the back end. So I did two mailings and made $850 in commissions. And I really just wasn't that thrilled about it because, you know, got a lot of people on our list. So versus another friend of mine who she offers $1,000 on a $2,000 product, and I know she has a really great history of conversion, meaning a lot of people buy. We did three mailings to half of our list, and I made $4,000 in commissions. So, you know, people think about this. You could have someone mail for you to offer free consultations. Your free consultations could be a bonus for a product that they buy of the other person's. Maybe they don't do one-on-one work anymore. And this can be really, really powerful for you. So consider that as an opportunity. And maybe you only pay 10% on the of the package that they buy. And that's totally fine because it's your one-on-one time and people get that. But if you're offering a product or a program where it's a group thing, and it doesn't really take a lot of your extra time to have that person in your buy your product or in your program, I would recommend you offer 40 to 50%. People will be a lot more likely to promote for you. So that's just a really, really important thing to think about. You know, and then I do want to say that with that 997 person, their reciprocation was worth a lot more than the, you know, the commissions I was going to make on those sales. So I actually did do it again. But it's just something to think. The more generous you are, generosity is the new name of the game. I love this. I was interviewed by Tanya Peluso of Tribal Truth, and she said generosity is the new currency. It's true. Being generous, being of service really, really matters. Another thing that might be important to people are fringe benefits. This is the fourth thing that are most important to JV partners, fringe benefits. They could be coaching. They could be gifts. They could be products, programs, events. If I promote for a partner, they might give me their thing. I'll give you an example. My friend Maria Andros, who's the video marketing queen, and she gave me one of her social media traffic blueprint, and I haven't dove into it yet. But, you know, to know that that's there, and she's really brilliant with that, and that's a $2,000 product, that's really, really nice. So sometimes, you know, we might invite our partners to, you know, I often will say, watch what we do. You know, send your staff to, you know, assist and be in the back of the room. What can I offer you? Sometimes it'll be, oh, let me give you this system. I remember, you know, being on the phone with Brian Bird, who's the CEO of Maestro Conference, and I was talking about our pre-flight email checklist. And that's the email that our team goes through before they send an email to make sure the subject is right and all that stuff. And he said, can I have that? I was like, of course, because you want your partners to be successful. So that's just some things to think about. If you're doing a launch, you might think about prizes. That might be a little bit more advanced, but, you know, that's a little bit more of a leverage stuff. But you might do prizes if you're doing a launch to really help people promote for you. So these are some things that that you can think about what's important to your partners. I have a lot more that I can share, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a part two to this call because I do feel like there's a lot more that I could share about how to connect with partners who won't ask you to do a call swap and who you should contact and how to talk with them so they're eager to promote for you and how to create win-wins with a totally different niche, some things like that, how to grow your relationships through easy follow-up systems and how to discover the best opportunities are the ones for you to say yes to. So if you have a question for me about anything that I've shared today, please press 1 on your telephone keypad. Okay, Kate Thomas, you're on the big mic.
Thanks so much, Charlotte. That was great. This may sound like a really silly question, but everything that you said makes sense, but I feel as though there's a lot in between that's not said, maybe I'm not ready for, maybe there's a pre-call that would precede this, as if there's a lot of information that would fill in the blanks in between what you said, because I could write it all down, and I still think I might be lost.
What is it that you, what specifically isn't making sense to you? Thank you for the feedback.
I can identify it. I just feel like it all makes sense, but I wouldn't know where to begin. Maybe it's just that I'm not there yet.
It might be. You know, again, what I really recommend to people is get a little traction, like get a good practice going and feel like you know what you're doing so you can feel really confident. And it might have also been, you know, I'm in my mommy brain and maybe I didn't organize it well enough for you to get it. So that could be part of it too. So I appreciate your feedback.
I think it's more that these all have, my perception is that this all has to do with people that are promoting to train coaches. And if you're at the practitioner level where I'm being a practitioner, I'm not being a speaker on how to train people how to do what I do or how to train people how to get clients. So is that a different business? Does this still apply? I mean, are you saying that I should still, you know, find my competitors that have successful practices, maybe doing something similar that I do, not the same, or maybe the same, and then see how I can help them? Or is this only for the level once you have the maximum number of clients that you want and you want to start doing training?
Great question. Thank you for asking that, Kate, because I'm sure there are other people on the call who are having the same question.
Everything that you were saying were people that were already over the six-figure mark and already in the business of doing public training.
Which is that this is what my experience is, but you can use this if you are a private practitioner. Here's what I would recommend. I want you to go find somebody who promises the same kind of results or is in the same niche that you're in and offers an information product and probably doesn't do one-on-one anymore. And ask them, you know, create a relationship with them, become friends with them, ask what you can do for them. Maybe you can provide a bonus a bonus consultation for people who buy their product or their program. And I'll give you an example of this that, you know, Rose Cole is now very, very, very successful and She sees hardly any one-on-one clients, and she's actually on a sabbatical to be with her new baby right now. But when she sells a program, she was actually offering a bonus.
She did continue to date Evan Pagan.
What's that?
I said, I guess she did continue to date Evan Pagan.
Oh, no, no, actually, she has a, she, her and Evan didn't quite make it. Actually, they're both married to different people now and very happy, and she's got a baby now, and so, so she, you know, when she offers a product or program, I believe that she has one of our other graduates, who's Kelly Cornell, who was offered to give bonus, you know, consultations as a bonus for people who bought her product. And I know that, you know, and Rose actually is the one who recommended this. So that's one thing that you can do. Another thing you can do is suppose you go, let's say you do something that has to do with herbs. And I'll just give an example. There's a store in Santa Cruz called the Herb Room. And it's a little store, and they have, you know, they have kind of every kind of herb that you can imagine. And you could go to that store, and you could, you know, make friends, you know, find out who the owner is, make friends with them, and ask if you could offer consultations to anybody who buys a product. Like maybe even offer the owner some, you know, a series of sessions for free.
Good point, yeah.
And, you know, so they can see your work and they can see what you do. And maybe, you know, if say you have a certain type of thing that you do and they buy the same, you recommend a certain type of supplements and you tell them to go buy them at the Herb Room, you say, you know, I really want my people to come and buy their supplements from you. And when people buy these types of supplements, I can really help them. And I would love to offer a free consultation just as an added value. So these are some ideas of things that you can do. But again, it's all based in relationship. It's all based in, you know, adding value, how can you help, and being friends.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Great question. Thank you so much, Kate. I'm going to ask this question from Chris Arucci. Chris.
Hello, Sharla. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My question is, I'm at the point where I'm still really clarifying my what I'm offering. I'm going making that transition from being in private practice to offering group programs.
Great.
And I keep focusing, like you were saying, I just keep showing up at events and making contacts and building relationships.
Right.
And I still feel like in doing that, I feel like I'm missing opportunities. Like I should be further along than I am or, you know, being able to, because I feel like I don't really have anything to offer people yet as far as how I can support them aside from, you know, offering them health coaching tips or something. So what would you recommend I do in going and meeting people who are playing a much bigger game than I am, aside from just engaging with them, being friendly with them, making connections on Facebook, how to, I don't know, make the transition faster, more elegantly?
Well, I love that you say, you know, engaging with them on Facebook. I would, if you have people that you want to follow, and I think that it was, I got this from PJ Van Hull, who's one of our multiple six-figure graduates, and she has a list of people, you know, you can choose lists in Facebook, and she has a list of people that she wants to follow, and she always comments when they post. That's one way to just keep, you know, your name in front of them. Really find out what you can do for them. And I'll give you, you know, one of the questions that you can ask, and I'm going to do this on the next call, is I'm going to go ahead and go through, you know, really a template of how to talk with potential joint venture partners and have them, you know, really find out what's going on for them. And so I would connect with them on Facebook. And then, you know, when you see them again, say hi. And, you know, just it's like treat them like they're friends. And you know, you might even, you know, send them a card, you know, when their birthday is. There's just so many things that you can do. You could, you know, see what's going on with them. Again, you know, the thing is it's really a hard-selling conversation, right? You got to position yourself. You've got to connect with them. You got to find out what their biggest challenge is, see how you can serve them. Maybe you can introduce them to somebody right now. Maybe you can say, hey, you've got to meet my friend so-and-so. They're going to remember that you introduced them. I remember everybody who introduced me to so-and-so. You know, it's like I know how I met people, and people who are playing a bigger game will remember that. So if you become somebody who's like a hub in that way, I think it'll be really, really helpful.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Great question. So, yes, and for now, for all of you, you know, make your connections. Get connected. Stay connected. That's a really, really important thing. Communicate often. I mean, for example, when I know somebody's in a launch, it's like I watch their launch, and I might say, hey, how's it going? You know, what do you need? So I'm going to go ahead and do a part two to this call with some additional bullets about working with joint venture partners. Think about this. Think about how you might want to use this in your own business and your own practice. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and sign off. Lots of love to you. Bye.